ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् विद्महे कन्याकुमारी धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गे प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः The three reasons why we do this Upasana portion, the five chapters, because you may think why unnecessarily we are wasting our time in understanding these Upasanas, because we are not practicing the Upasanas, then what is the purpose of, understanding these Upasanas? See, the main reason is just to understand what is Vedic meditation, how meditations are taught here in the Upanishads, even though we are not practicing. The second reason is, later on, when we want to understand Brahma Sutras, it is very important to know what these meditations are. So, Brahma Sutra, for the sake of understanding the Brahma Sutra study later on, we need to understand what these Upasanas are, even though we are not practicing the Upasanas. And the third reason is, Upasanas, the understanding itself, gives you the understanding of the Ishvara and Devatas, and also, as a discipline, contributes for mental preparation, the expansion of the mind. And if we practice Upasanas, definitely it is possible to accomplish even Krama Muktihi. Even though we don't recommend practice, if we practice this, it will contribute for, pave way for accomplishment of Krama Muktihi also. There are four reasons, okay, why we do this Upasana portion of the Upanishad. So the last class, I spent a lot of time, I deviated from the teaching and I explained to you what that phenomenon called fear is and how fear can be resolved only in knowledge. Until the knowledge, the fear cannot be resolved. Until the knowledge, the isolation of individual from the total will be unavoidable. And as long as there is isolation of the individual from the total, and there will be fear. Because fear is a phenomenon which obtains only when there is separation, only when there is isolation, only when for you in understanding there are more two things. Okay? So this is because of the perception of, as long as the perception of duality is very real for you, then there will be fear. For fear can be resolved only in the vision of the non-duality of the reality, where the isolation will be resolved, individuality will resolve in the totality, then the fear can be resolved. Therefore, we saw that last class, but today we are actually going to the Upanishadic portion. That was not our actual teaching in the Upanishad. I took it separately and I just elaborated on that fear. So in the fourth section, again Upanishad discusses the Udgita Upasanam, meditation upon the Alambanam called Udgitaha, which is Omkara in the Samaveda. And Udgita Upasanam, it prescribes here. Why? Because the Udgita, and what is Udgita here? Udgita, the Omkara in the Samaveda is Udgitaha, and Udgita is endowed with this glory. The two glories I mentioned last class. Amritatva Guna Visishta Omkaraha or Udgitaha. Then Abhayatva Guna Visishta Mahima Yukta Udgitaha. See, Amritatva Mahima Yukta Udgita Upasanam. Or can say Amritatva Abhayatva Mahima Yukta Udgita Upasanam. Means here we take Omkara as an Alambanam, and then we know Omkara as object of meditation. And what is it, Omkara? You visualize the Omkara as the one which is endowed with the glory of immortality. And one which is endowed with the glory of the fearlessness. Which means when you meditate upon this Omkara, it will bless you with Omkara Upasanam, will bless you with Krama Muktihi, one thing. Otherwise, Omkara Upasanam will contribute for mental preparation, and thereby it will help you go to the meaning, enquire into the meaning of Omkara, which will result in the vision of the truth, thereby it will bless you with also the Hadya Mukti also. Therefore, Omkara Upasanam will free you from fear. That is said. And second thing, so for which we saw how there is a small story like Akhyayika was presented, when all these devas took refuge in the Karmakanda of the Veda, and they started performing all the rituals. And that by performing the rituals, they enjoyed the results of those rituals also. But they found out that however much fruits they reap as a result of that performance of rituals, still they did not resolve their fear. Still they didn't feel protected. And they sought protection. And finally, they understood, and the example was given, last class we saw that also, just as the fisherman who stands, who sees there, who can look into the fish, look in the water, the fish underneath the water, even though the fish seem to be covered by the water, still fish is very visible for the fisherman, still he can kill those fish. Like that, the death, one cannot escape from the jaws of death if we simply perform the rituals. The performance of rituals and the enjoyments of fruits of rituals are like the water through which still death, Lord Death can see us clearly, still we can be subject to mortality. So that was said, which we finally understand the limitations of karma. Karma is not the means of attainment of moksha. Karma is very important. Shastram does not undermine the value of karma. Karma is very important. One has to perform the duties. One has to perform the religious activities as well as mundane activities. Secular and sacred activities are very important for preparing one's mind for living this life. But for moksha, what you need, not the karma or the karma phalam, but only jnanam. And what was said by Adi Shankara in the Bhaja Govindam, the very first verse, Dukrin karane nahi nahi rakshati Govindam bhaja. This was a simple sentence, isn't it? And the small verse actually reveals the fact of what? May you pursue knowledge and may you attain knowledge, and knowledge alone will protect you. First sentence. Govindam bhaja, Govindam bhaja, Govindam bhaja. Three times he repeats. One sentence reveals this fact. What is the fact? May you pursue knowledge. May you attain knowledge. Why? Because knowledge of the truth alone will protect you. Knowledge alone is protection. That's the meaning of the first sentence. And what second sentence? Dukrin karane nahi nahi rakshati. Is it? It means what? This karma will not protect you at the time of death. When you go through, when you really experience the fear of death, you know, when nothing will protect you from fear of death, but also the karma. Karma is incapable of protecting you from the fear of death. Knowledge alone will protect you. So knowledge is protection, karma is not a means of protection. He made it very clear, and that is what here Upanishad also reveals here. What now? Karma, just to make us understand the limitation of karma, not to undermine the value of karma, not to underestimate the value of karma, but to understand, make us understand the limitation of karma, that karma will not free you from bondage, will not protect you from fear of death. What you need is jnanam only. To say that, Upanishad talks about these things. Then therefore, what did they do? Then they took refuge in Omkaraha. I told you, Omkaraha is known as Udgitaha in Samaveda. And they meditate upon Udgitaha. Udgita Upasanam, Udgita is known as Swaraha in this Upanishad also. One more name you have to learn, know what? Swaraha. Omkara. I'm going to tell you all the names of Omkara now. Meditated upon Udgita, and they became free from fear of death. Abhayam, they also attained what? They also attained Amrutatvam and Abhayatvam. They also became free from immortality, which means they attained immortality. They became free from the fear of mortality, and they also, which means they attained fearlessness. They discovered fearlessness as their own Swarupam, and they became free from the fear of mortality. That is the meaning of the, that's the mantra we saw in the last class. And one more meaning I want to relate to the last class. In the context of this Upasanam, Udgita Upasanam, the fourth section, the fourth, isn't it? Yes. In this fourth section, presence is only one Upasanam, that is Amritatva Abhayatva Mahima Yukta Onka Udgita Upasanam is the upname of the Upasanam that discussed in this chapter section. In that Upanishad, the context of that meditation, Upanishad also gives the meaning of the word chandas. Okay? Chandas, I told you last class, the word chandas has many meanings. Chanda, the entire Veda, all the four Vedas together are known as chandas, means Vedaha. Chandas also means any given mantra in the Veda is also called chandas. Meter also is called chandas. And why the Veda mantra is called chandas? What does the word chandas mean? The chandas has come from the root chad. Chad. Chad means chadanam. Chadanam means covering. Chadayati means covers. So chandas means that which covers. Like any cover protects, isn't it? When you cover yourself with a blanket, it protects you from what? The cold weather, isn't it? So like that, any cover shield is for protection. Like mantras also protect us. So chadayati iti chandas means they are protective. Mantra is protective. Mantra protects us. Veda protects us. How does the mantra protect? All the mantras protect us. How? By helping us enjoy the fruits of results, rituals we perform. It is the mantra which is chanted during the performance of ritual alone, helps us enjoy the benefits of the fruits of the rituals. How? By blessing us with the fruits of results. So this is how mantra protects us. Then mantras also what now contribute for mental preparation, thereby it protects us. Mantra also make understand the limitation of karma, thereby it protects us. So this is how mantra protects us. Therefore, Veda Veda is a source of protection. So initially, mantras, the Veda contributes for mental, help us to prepare our minds for knowledge, thereby it protects, relatively it protects. And ultimately, Veda Anta Shastram helps us to discover the very truth, thereby protects us from fear of death, protects us from bondage, samsara also. Therefore, it relatively also Veda protects, absolutely also Veda protects, therefore Veda is called Chandas. Okay, that which is protective of you. The only protection is knowledge, and the Veda is a means of knowledge, therefore it is protection. So Chandas means that which protects you by covering you. Is it clear? That's the meaning of the word Chandas. That's why the mantra is called Chandas. That meaning also is given in the this very chapter. So the benefit also is given. So whatever you meditate upon, you get that. Whatever you are focusing on, you become that. Yad bhavaha tad bhavati is the whatever you are constantly dwelling upon, you become that. That's the mind power. Okay, people talk about the mind power. That's what the meditation upon Omkara will definitely, if you meditate upon Omkara, is the one endowed with the glory of fearlessness. Because Omkara stands for Ishvara, and Ishvara Surupam is Chaitanyam, and Chaitanyam is of the nature of fearlessness. There is no fear in consciousness. Similarly, Omkara is of the nature of immortality, means what? Omkara has the glory of the being immortal, means immortality is the Surupam of the Ishvara. Ishvara Surupam is the truth of everything. Ishvara is consciousness, and consciousness is of the nature of immortality, because it's free from mortality. That is, therefore, if we meditate upon Omkara, definitely, as the one endowed with this particular glory of the fearlessness and immortality, we also will have attained what? Immortality and fearlessness. That is the meaning of this particular section, which you already seen. It is not a new lesson. We'll go to the next section now. Okay. Next also is again another Udgita Upasana. See, look at this. Omkaraha, Om, is known as Pranavaha in Rigveda, Yajurveda and Atharvana Veda. Pranavaha, Omkara is known as Pranava in three Vedas. Rig, Yajur and Atharvana Vedas. And Om is known as Udgitaha in Samaveda. And Omkara is also known as what? Omkaraha, Pranavaha, Udgitaha. One more word is what? Swaraha. Swaraha also. And here, we are going to see. And this Omkara in Samaveda, which is known as Udgita, is again taken as an alambanam in the following section also. And here we are going to see three meditations here in the next section. Athakalo, athakalo, yaha, Udgitaha, saha, pranavaha, yaha pranavaha, saha udgitaha, iti, asau, va, adityaha, udgitaha, yeshaha pranavaha, om, iti, hi, yesha, swaraneti. Okay. So, Udgitaha, Pranavaha, Swaraha, all are different names of Omkaraha only. Okay. And here, before we enter here, I had told you many times earlier the meaning of the word Pranavaha. Still in this, because we come across this word Pranavaha, I am going to again tell you why Om is called, known as Pranavaha. I think I might have told in the previous class also. Anyway, see, you know this word, the glory of Omkara, we did not talk about, we have already seen many times. And Omkara is the exalted of all the Veda mantras. Where did you get this meaning? Where do you understand this meaning? Omkara is the glory of Omkara. Where do you understand? Omkara is essence of all the Veda mantras. This is the glory of Omkara. Where do you understand that? Yes, Chandasam Rishabha. When you chant Chandasam Rishabha, I never forget this. That one sentence, Chandasam Rishabha, means Omkara has the glory of being the essence of all the Veda mantras. And this Omkara is another glory, is what? It is the sound symbol of Ishvara, therefore Omkara is in the form of the whole universe. The Lord is in the form of the whole cosmos, means Omkara is in the form of whole cosmos. Why? Om stands for Ishvara, the whole, Vishwarupaha. This glory of Omkara you understand in Taittiriya Upanishad, in that Medha Prarthana Mantra, the mantra which is meant for Japa, wherein you pray for Medha Shakti. Isn't it? You understood. And here also you understood the entire significance of Omkara in where? Mandukya Upanishad. In the Mandukya Upanishad, all the mantras, there are four mantras, isn't it? 5 + 1, 6 mantras discuss only about Omkara. Understand the end significance of Omkara there in that Mandukya Upanishad also. And at Om, because all the mantras are reduced to one mantra, Gayatri mantra. And Gayatri is reduced to three Vyakritis called Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha. And Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha again are reduced to three sounds. A, U, M. Om is what? Om is a single syllable consisting of three sounds extracted from Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha. And which are the extraction of the Gayatri mantra. And Gayatri mantra, which is the essence of all the Veda mantras. You have to come from there. Okay? All the four Vedas is equal to what now? One Gayatri, Savitri mantra in Gayatri meter, which is a Surya Gayatri. Om Bhut Bhuvaswaha Tatsaviturvareenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhyo Yonav Prachodayat. This is the Savitri mantra in Gayatri meter. This is the essence of all the four Vedas. And this Gayatri mantra can be reduced to what? Three Vyakritis, three utterances. You know, auspicious utterances known as Vyakritayaha, Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha. Again, these three Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha, three Vyakritayaha, auspicious utterances also, can be reduced to what? Three sounds. A, U, M. Akara, Ukara, Makara. These three sounds together constitute what? One syllable, monosyllabic word, Om. Therefore, Om is what? The essence of all the mantras. And this Omkaraha is known as Udgitaha in Samaveda. Why? Because Omkara is uttered in high pitch. Om. In Samaveda, it is uttered in high pitch, therefore it is called Udgitaha. And the same Omkara in Rigveda, Yajurveda, Atharvaveda is known as Pranavaha. Why Omkara is known as Pranavaha? That I told you already. Pranavaha, if you take, you have to, there are two, there's a prefix pra and navaha. Pra navaha. That navaha, if you take, without the pra, if you take, there's only navaha. The na is a dental nakara. Ta tha da dha na na na. That navaha means nama. Nama means name. Name means a term, a word. Isn't it? Any one word can be a name for only one given object. Chair means, chair is one term, one word, one name indicating only one particular object called chair. The chair is a navaha, which indicates only one object called chair, it does not indicate any other object here. The wall, the door, the window, etc. No other object is indicated by the word chair, only chair is indicated. Which means any navaha, any name, any word can indicate only one word, one object. But if there's one word which can indicate all the objects simultaneously, that's a unique word, unique term, isn't it? One word, one sound by which, you know, all the entire cosmos, the entire universe, all the objects which constitute the universe can be indicated, means that's a unique term. That's called pranavaha. Understand? Navaha, the dental nakara becomes cerebral nakara. Navaha becomes na. That tata da na, because what? Na, tata da da na. Understand? So cerebral nakara comes when you add pra. Pranavaha. Prakarshena nuyate anena sarvam iti pranavaha. That one word by which all the objects, every object is indicated, is called pranavaha. So it's a unique name. Navaha means name. Pranavaha means unique name, a unique term. Which means what? You can say what? Who is this? Om. 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 Everything can be known as what? Om. Why? Everything is Ishvara. This is Ishvara, this is Ishvara, this is Ishvara, that is Bhagavan, that is Bhagavan, this is Bhagavan, this is Bhagavan. Which is not Bhagavan here? Bhagavan is not anything, but everything here is Bhagavan only, Ishvara only, isn't it? Every wave is water, this wave is water, that wave is water, that wave is water, that wave is water. Like that, every object here is Ishvara. Your every object is Om. You can use Om. Stands for all the objects. Therefore, it's called what? A unique name, pranavaha. Prakarshena nuyate anena sarvam iti pranavaha. Understand why Omkara is known as pranavaha. And this explanation also I gave you already, but still I waste my time unnecessarily giving second time the meaning. Doesn't matter, let me tell you. So, all the vowels and consonants, uyiruthukkal and meyiruthukkal, no, maximum vowels and consonants, we can have 454. There's a 55th letter for sound, okay? 54 vowels and consonants. And all the vowels and consonants must be pronounced where? Where do you sound the vowels and pronouns? Whichever is the language. All the vowels and consonants of all the languages have to be pronounced only here, between gutter and the lips, isn't it? Therefore, a is a guttural sound, m is a labial sound, and in between a, u, m, the akara, ukara, makara, three sounds, two vowels and one consonant stand for all the vowels and consonants. And all the vowels and consonants stand for all the words. What is a word? A word, a term, a name indicating any given object, a meaningful word, okay? Any word indicating a given object is what? Nothing but vowels and consonants put together. Any language, isn't it? Any word is a combination of vowels and consonants put together. Therefore, akara, ukara, makara stand for all the vowels and consonants. All the vowels and consonants of all the languages stand for all the words. And all the words indicate, stand for all the objects indicated by the words. And all the objects constitute the whole cosmos. How do you understand this? Vishwam. The first name of Mahavishnu in Vishnu Sahasranama, Vishwam. Vishwanatha. We always say, Vishwanathaha, we say that Bhagavan is same. So, Vishwam itself is Bhagavan for us. Vishwanatha, the second word, isn't it? Vishwam, the whole universe is Ishvara Bhagavan. Vishwam. Why the universe is called Vishwam? Because that which is constituted of innumerable countless forms indicated by innumerable countless names. This is the definition of the word Vishwam. Vishwam is a definition of universe. Why universe is called Vishwam? Vishwam means Vividhaihi Pratyayaihi Gamyam. Isn't it? The universe is nothing but that which is constituted of innumerable countless forms indicated by innumerable countless words. Is called Vishwam. Therefore, now we can say what now? Therefore, Om is equal to all the vowels and consonants of all the languages, the unknown also can include. And all the vowels and consonants stand for all the words of all the languages. And all the words of all the languages stand for all the objects indicated by the words. And all the objects constitute the universe. Therefore, Om is equal to the whole Ishvara. Understand? That's why Omkara is a unique name. Pranavaha. Isn't it? Pranavaha. And this Pranavaha, Omkara is Pranavaha, and is also what now? We say Swaran Eti. Is also known as Swaraha. Why? Because Swaraha means, Swarati means utters. Before Rigveda beginning, Yajurveda beginning, any beginning of any mantra, everything is begun with Omkara utterance only. Therefore, it's also called Swaraha. That thing which is begun without Omkara utterance. Therefore, Omkara is also known as Swaraha. Udgitaha, Omkaraha, Pranavaha, Swaraha, isn't it? Now we have that. That Udgita again is taken here as an alambanam for meditation. But here, I said, Udgita is an alambanam, but we are having three meditations here. The first meditation is what? Aditya Pratika Udgita Upasanam, number one, in this section. Aditya Pratika Udgita Upasanam means, the Udgita is an alambanam on which Adityaha, Suryaha is invoked. Surya Upasanam. Suryaha is the Devata invoked upon Omkaraha Udgitaha here. Okay, meditated upon. And here, already we have seen Aditya Pratika Udgita Upasanam. We have already seen in the previous section. Already there has been mentioned what this meditation upon Omkara, wherein the Surya is invoked. If Aditya Devata is the Adityaha is the Devata, Udgitaha is the Alambanam, so we have already seen that. Why Upanishad repeats this Aditya Pratika Udgita Upasanam? And here, the reason the Upanishad gives is, earlier Aditya was taken as just one Devata. But in this context, we take the Surya not as one Devata, but as the one endowed with many, many, many rays of light. Bahu aneka kirana yukta Aditya Pratika Udgita Upasanam. Udgita is the alambanam. But what is the Devata here? We don't invoke Aditya as one Aditya, but as the one endowed with many rays of light. Okay, and here the reason also is given. What is the purpose of invoking Aditya as the one endowed with many rays of light? We may not be interested in the fruit, in the result, but actually Upanishad says, if we meditate upon, if we invoke the Surya as the one Devata upon Udgita, then the palam will be what? Only one result. Many, especially those who want many sons, bahu putra prapti palartham. See, people nowadays may not be interested in all these things. Those in India, it's all considered wealth. Children are wealth. Okay, one son is not enough. We want more sons, not to quarrel for wealth, at least to live together, to support each other emotionally in the bad, wrong, difficult situations. No, as emotional companionship also, what we need many children. Don't hit 13, 14 like other people and then giving the tough time for government, okay, going for benefits. but for the perpetuation of dharma, definitely we need more children. So this benefit, fruit, we might not be interested. That's why I thought, okay, next week onwards, I'm going to do 6th chapter plus this chapter. So bahu putra praptihi is the benefit of the practicing this upasanam. What upasanam? Invoking the sun as the one endowed with many rays of light upon the Udgita. Therefore, Udgita is what now for us? The Surya Devata. Udgita stands for the Suryaha. And who is the Surya here? The Surya, the one endowed with many kiranas. So, bahu rashmi yukta, bahu kirana yukta, aditya pratika Udgita upasana. The sun with the many rays of light. Yetamu Yeva Aham Abhyagasisham Tasman Mama Tvam Yekaha Asi Iti Ha Kaushitakihi Putram Uvacha. So here Upanishad introduces the name of the Rishi. We won't believe, na? You always want somebody authentic source. There is a Rishi called Kaushitakihi Rishihi. And this Kaushitakihi Rishihi is talking to his son. And he is telling, Yetameva Aham Abhyagashisam. Oh my son, I invoked this Aditya as one Devata upon Omkara. Okay, I meditated upon the Surya Devata in Omkara. But what happened? Tvam yekaha asi, you are my only son now. I have only you as my only son. Therefore, what should you know? Rashmim tvam pariyavartayad. Therefore, may you meditate upon the Surya as the one with many rashmayaha. Rashmin means what here? Rashmihi means ray of light. Rashmihi is a feminine gender word. Therefore, you can name the girls as Rashmi. Okay, Rashmi. Kiranaha is a masculine gender word. Rashmihi is a feminine gender word. Rashmihi means ray of light. Kiranaha is a masculine, okay, also ray of light. So many words we have to mean this ray of light. So here, Rashmim Stvam, may you meditate upon the Surya as the one endowed with many rays of light. So that what? You will have many sons. You will not have one son like me. My son, if you meditate upon son, you will have many sons. So what? Bahavaha vai te bhavishyanti. You will have many sons. Te, for you, bahavaha bhavishyanti. There will be many sons for you. You may ask, my God, I have come all the way traveling to this class to understand Brahman. Swaminiji is talking about, what is this? Are we really interested in many sons now? And people, even in India, the families are shrinking. Especially English families also, I really pray. May you all do this namaskar. Okay, so the children get married to proper. English race also has to be preserved. Any race is within the realm of Bhagavan's order. Every race is Bhagavan's order. Bhagavan is mama, every race, and every race needs to be preserved and protected. Because every race is important. Understand? Therefore, may all the girls and boys get married to the proper husbands, proper wives. Therefore, they have proper families and proper children. So, all the race will be protected. Dharma also can be protected. Understand? Otherwise, we will be in danger. And some other people will occupy the whole Jagat. I don't know whether it's relevant or not. I'm talking about it. Somewhere something bothers. Okay. So, okay, bahavaha vai bhavishyanti. Bahavaha means what? Many. Nereya irupargal, isn't it? Bahavaha bhavishyanti. You will have many sons, oh my son. Okay. Iti adi daivatam. And this is what? because here the object of meditation is what? Surya Devata, which is what now? Which is part of the objective universe. The upasana is what? Adi Daivata Upasanam. If the object of meditation is anything pertaining to an individual, it is called Adhyatma Upasanam. The object of meditation is pertaining to the objective universe, it is Adi Daivata Upasanam. Is it clear? So this one is over. Now next we'll go to the next. Now what is the next meditation? Very simple. Quickly we can move on. The second meditation is Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam, second meditation. Which means Prana is the Devata and Udgita is the Alambanam. So we are going to invoke the Prana in Udgita. We are going to meditate when you look at the Udgita as the Prana. Isn't it? You meditate upon Udgita as the Prana. And here also the same reason is given. Earlier we had meditation. This Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. The Udgita was taken as an Alambanam already, and Prana was invoked as the Devata in the Udgita. Already we had that Omkara was meditated upon as the Prana earlier. Why Upanishad repeats again Prana? Earlier also, Prana was looked upon as one Devata. But now, Prana is looked upon as the one endowed with, one who is involved in five different functions. Bahu Vrittimat, Vrittimat Pranaha. Bahu Vrittimat Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. We don't see Prana as just one Prana, but we look upon the Prana as, you know, the one vital air, but here we look at Prana as the one governing five different systems, in one five different functions. Understand? Again, the reason is given. Kaushita Kirishi gives the same reason. Look at this. Now, this is Adhyatma Upasanam. The Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam is Adhyatma Upasanam. Well, because Prana belongs to an individual. Isn't Aditya is part of the objective universe, and Prana belongs to an individual, therefore it is called Adhyatma Upasanam. And here, look at this. Athadhyatmam, Athadhyatmam, Ya eva, Ayam, Mukhyaha Pranaha, Mukhyaha Pranaha, Tam Udgitam, Upasita, Om Iti, Hi, Yeshaha, Swaraneti. See, I do not know. Upanishad says this. When who people who are in deathbed, when they depart, okay, this when the soul departs, the prana leaves the physical body, it leaves what? It seems. So people around the person, they hear the is Omkara, they say. Definitely, maybe it goes, I don't know how it goes. I haven't seen. I was sitting next to my mother, but I never noticed it. Maybe I fell asleep midnight. I was sitting all whole night listening, seeing. I should not fall asleep. The Paurami came, she departed. I just dozed. I missed her. Anyway, so what I'm saying is when the soul departs, they say Om Swaran, making this Om Shabda noise, they leave, it seems. Therefore also what now Om is called Swaraha. Understand? It's all irrelevant for us to understand all these things. And here, now the Prana is to be invoked as the one involved in five different functions, governing five different systems. And because the Prana is the prana is individual prana, it's called adhyatma upasanam. Now, same Kaushitakihi Rishi, he is talking to his son. Only through the conversation between Kaushitakihi and his son, Upanishad tells us this secret. What secret? You invoke prana upon Udgita as one, just one devata, only one son. You invoke prana as the one involved in five different functions, governing five different systems, then you will have many sons. Okay. And then the sentences are not complete, just to understand the meaning, it's enough. Evamu eva aham abhyagashisam abhyagasisham. O my son, I practiced this abhyagasisham. I practiced this meditation. What meditation? This prana meditation. I invoked the prana in Udgita. I meditated upon Omkara as the prana. What, as a result of which, what? Tasmat mama tvam ekaha asi. You may ask, without practicing meditation also, we all have sons. Don't ask me all those things. Tell me. Okay, Upanishad says what now? Tvam ekaha asi. You are, there is one son. Kaushitakihi. Okay. Tasmat mama tvam ekaha asi iti ha Kaushitakihi putram uvacha pranan tvam bhumanam abhigayata bahavaha vai me bhavishyanti iti. So he says, so if you invoke, if you invoke Omka, the prana in Udgatha, if you see, visualize, meditate upon Udgita as the prana involved in five different functions. Vrittihi means a function, isn't it? And five different functions, governing five different systems, then me bahu putraha bahavaha bhavishyanti. There will be many sons. This is the bahu putra praptihi, is the benefit of practicing this meditation, along with what? Mental, it also, this meditation also serves as a mental discipline. Atrakalo. Okay, so with this, the second prana upasamala is over. This is the Udgita Bahuvrittimat Prana Pratika Udgita Upasam Adhyatma Upasam also is over. We are quickly going. I told you already, we are not going to spend a lot of time here, and we will do word by word from the sixth chapter. Atra khalo yaha udgitaha saha pranavaha yaha pranavaha saha udgitaha iti hotrushadanad dvau api. Sorry, ha eva api hotrushadanam. Ha eva api durudgitam anusamaharati. Anusamaharati iti panchamaha khandaha. Appa. The fifth section is over. And what a third meditation? I told you three meditations are discussed in the fifth section. First is to Aditya Upasanam, Aditya Pratika, Udgita Upasanam, then Prana Pratika, Udgita Upasanam. Over. Now we have the third meditation is, see, Udgita Pranava Aikya Upasanam. Udgita Pranava ஐக்கிய உபாசனம் இஸ் தி தேர்ட் உபாசனம். ஜஸ்ட் நோ த நேம்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஆல் தி மெடிடேஷன்ஸ் இனஃப். வி ஆர் நாட் கோயிங் டு பிராக்டிஸ் ஆர் எனிதிங். ஜஸ்ட் டு குவிக்லி கோ த்ரூ திஸ் தென் யூ கேன் கோ டு சிக்ஸ் சாப்டர். உத்கீத பிரணவ ஐக்கிய உபாசனம் மீன்ஸ் வி ஆர் கோயிங் டு மெடிடேட் அப்பான் திஸ் மெடிடேட் ஆன் தி உத்கீத அண்ட் பிரணவ. ஓகே, கம்பைனிங் உத்கீத அண்ட் பிரணவ வி ஆர் கோயிங் டு மெடிடேட் அப்பான் திஸ் மீன்ஸ் வாட் டஸ் இட் மீன் ஹியர். So Udgita Pranava Aikya Upasana means Udgita is also Omkara. It is, you know, Udgita is Omkara in Samaveda and Pranava is Omkara in other three Vedas. So Aikya Upasana means what? Mainly here Pranava is the Omkara uttered in Rigveda. Understand? Rigveda. Suppose when the person is performing a ritual, if we practice this meditation, what is the benefit? That's also said here. Suppose when the person is performing a ritual and he recites what? He recites the pranava. He recites Omkara as uttered in the Rigveda. And he also recites what? The mantras from Samaveda. When a person performs a ritual, he chants mantras from Rigveda and from Samaveda. Especially the Samavedi is reciting the mantras, setting to tunes. Because Samaveda sung in Sapta Swaras, seven Swaras, okay? Sung in Sapta Swaras, when what happens, he may make mistakes. It is possible for one, I'm not saying he should make mistakes or he will make mistakes. It is natural for a Samavedi to make mistakes when he sets Rigveda mantras to tunes and sings them in seven swaras, using seven swaras. So these mistakes, now it has to be compensated. The error made in singing the Samaveda has to be compensated. How can you compensate that? If you practice this meditation, it becomes compensated. Understand? So Pranavaha is Omkara in Rigveda. Udgita is Omkara in Samaveda. If we do practice this meditation, Udgita, Pranava, Aikya Upasana, if we practice, this Omkara is none other than Udgita. Udgita is Pranavaha. Pranavaha is Udgita. What is Omkara, which is known as Pranava in the Rigveda alone, is Udgita in Samaveda. It's not different. The Udgita in Samaveda, nothing but Pranava in Rigveda. They are one and the same. No, this is how you have to see that. This is called IQ Upasana. Understanding, remembering again and again, Udgita in Samaveda is Omkaraha. In Pranava in Rigveda. Pranava in Rigveda is Udgita in Samaveda. They are not two, they are one and the same. Repeatedly meditating upon, dwelling upon this fact is called what? Prana Udgita Aikya Upasanam. So it does what? When a person performs rituals, singing these Sama Mantras, if he makes mistakes, those mistakes will be compensated as a result of practicing this meditation. So Anusamaharati means what? It compensates. It takes care of the errors caused by the Samavedi, so that we will not miss the benefit of performing that ritual. Is it clear? It's all not great thing, but still it's used here anyway. So these are the three meditations discussed in the fifth section. With this, fifth section also is over. Now we are entering into the sixth section.